Hello, does this work? Hello. Let me know if it rustles because it's on my scarf, so I'll change it if it does. Hello, thank you for letting me talk to you today. My name is Zara and I don't know what else. I'm studying physio if you want anything to know about me. That's my usual introduction. So today I get the pleasure of talking to you from 2 John, but I thought because I'm a youth leader and I like games, we'll start off with a game because not just the kids get to have fun. So we're going to do maybe this side versus this side as a bit of a competition. So can I get maybe 5 volunteers, 3 or 5 volunteers from each side to... Yeah, we've got one on this day. It involves food, so... you can just come up if you want, maybe. 3 to 5. I said 3 to 5, I just didn't know how many we could get. We can do 3, maybe. 3 works, or if we have 5, then do 5. One more from the right, or your left. Or someone can be an honorary member from the other side. That's all right. You guys can just be a voting. Oh, okay. Okay. So, you guys got to cheer for your side. You got to cheer for your side. So here right now I have some Tim Tams. It's the honorary Encounter Baptist food. But I also on this plate have some other Tim Tams. Or are they Tim Tams? This is the question. Okay, so the challenge for you guys today is... Oh, Georgia gets this. Yes, you know this. Is to work out which of these plates of Tim Tams is the real original Tim Tam or which one is the fake home brand version.
There's only one way to figure that out.
There's only one way to figure it out. So... Can each of you take one Tim Tam from this plate and one Tim Tam from this plate? Remember,
B plate.
Which is your hand?
I have A left A. hand, B
I
right hand.
I got the plates the wrong way, but that's okay.
B.
All right. Okay. Now, inspect them, have a look at them, try and work out what you think each of them are. You may taste them, you may eat them as well. You guys have to come to consensus as a group which one is the real one. You can show your team as well if you'd like to discover, to get a bit of a consensus around it. Maybe we have some new visors on this side apparently. All right, I'll give you 30 more seconds to decide.
A's a lot sweeter than B's. And B's the real one.
I've actually forgotten which is which, but I wrote it on the sheet, so it's fine. All right, can our contestants come back onto the stage for us? We've lost this side. You may polish them off. Yeah, sorry. Didn't really think about that. All right. Now, have you guys got a team name?
Yeah. Left wing.
Left wing. Left wing. What do you guys think is the real one?
B.
We've gone with B?
Yep.
Some of us are not agreeing.
Oh, a bit of disconsensus.
The Senate is a bit of an issue. Okay. House of Reps.
And what does this team think?
The majority think B.
B is the real Tim Tam, and A is the home brand. I can't remember. All right. Now, I will tell you now. B is the home brand. Oh! What? Oh my goodness. Chris Cass, ally, she knew. Now, I have a quick other one to check. This one's a little bit harder. So if you want to buy them later, they're called Surrender. They're Surrender biscuits. No, Coles. Coles. Now this one, we have one more, is a cracker. We have real Savoys or fake Savoys. But I realised afterwards that the Savoys actually print Savoys on their cracker. So this is a challenge. You guys get to close your eyes. I will go around with one of them. We'll go around with A. You get to have a bite with your eyes closed and eat it all. And then I will go around with B and you guys get to decide. So this is A coming around. Close your eyes. I will put it in your hand.
Thank you.
I know. Oh, I should have had a palate cleanser. All right. Keeping your eyes closed. This is A. Okay. Have a bite. Have an eat. Everyone, you can see from the audience. This one's A. All right. Now I will come around with B. Who knew you'd get getting fed today?
I know.
All right. Now, can discuss with your teammates what do you think is the real one, A or B?
So one's baked and one's fried, yeah?
No, they're both just biscuits, both Savoys.
But what are they? What are they?
Which
like?
One's a real Savoy, which one's a fake
yeah.
Savoy?
Okay.
Yep, yep. Have you guys decided?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, what does this team think?
B.
Is the real Savoy? B as well. All right, and I have the answer. Drum roll, please. Blah, 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 blah. I can reveal B is the real Savoy. Yay! All right, thank you so much for our volunteers. Everyone give them a big round of applause.
It was such a tough life.
I know, it's such a hard life, you know, being in the church. Okay, so you might be wondering why we're doing this. What we're talking about today, too, John, talks about a passage of the importance of theology or truth and what this truth is and how it impacts on our lives and how it impacts on how we love others. Now, in this example, the only way you could have known which was the real Tim Tam, which was the fake, which is the real Savoy, which is the fake, is by knowing what the true one was, by knowing the characteristics and the things like taste, texture, maybe the weight of it, the sweetness came into play, the characteristics of the food that makes it, it. And when you're looking at the fake one, you compare each of these characteristics with what you know to be true. And that's how you can identify what the false one was. So, for example, some people knew the characteristics of a Tim Tam. Tim and Chris Cass apparently knew them quite... Not Tim, David. Sorry. Tim Tams. A lot more than the others. They were able to identify, I know this one to be true compared to what the false one was. And this happens a lot in our lives. For example, mechanics. I know nothing about cars. So in order for me to identify what a dodgy mechanic is, which I can't, I just rely on my parents, I would have to know the truth about what my car needs, what fixing things my car needs fixing, what needs to happen, and it's from then when I know when I'm being ripped off or something like that. Something more close to home for me, research for physio articles or something. I know what makes up a good article. I know what things make it a quality study, if they've got enough members or things like that. And that's how I know if what they're telling me is right and true and what I should be applying to my own practices. So we're consistently evaluating our surroundings and factors based on things that we know to be true. And because this affects the outcome of what we receive and how we act. So I want to be the most advantageous form of patient. So I want to make sure that I know the truth about what I'm reading in articles, if I know that it's going to be right, so that I can get the best outcome for my patients. I want the best outcome for my car. So I'm going to be knowing what my car needs fixing, what things are true for that car to be able to run well and smoothly so I can use it effectively. I want to know which Tim Tam is the right one so my tummy can be satisfied and I can be happy. So I'm going to read to you from 2 John, if you want to get up on your phones or maybe a physical Bible, if you feel like it. 2 John, and it's a pretty short chapter, so I'm going to read the whole thing. All right, verse 1. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and in love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. So for a bit of context around this passage, it was written in 90 AD by what we think is John to a church, which he refers to as the lady, and its congregation, so the children. Supposedly it's the same church that he wrote to in 1 John. And at that time, there were some variant beliefs of practices going around where people had taken aspects of Christianity and then, not continuing in the teaching of Christ, had developed their own theology or ideology. And some of these were called, correct me if I'm wrong, David, Gnosticism, is that correct? And Docetism. Gnosticism was an ideology or religion made up of a few different ideas, but basically the general view was that the material world is bad and under control of the evil, and the spiritual world is good. And it claims that salvation comes to a select individuals who have the divine spark trapped in them and are redeemed when they come to know themselves, their origin and their destiny. So that was Gnosticism. And part of this is Docetism, which comes around, claims that the material world and flesh is bad, and so Christ did not come as fully human, but rather as a spirit who was within the body of a human for a short time, or just appeared but wasn't fully. Now, this ideology was beginning to develop around the time that John was writing these letters, and thus as individuals of these beliefs would travel around to spread this idea and evangelize, like the evangelists for Christ, and people would take them into their homes and give them provisions for their journey when they left. So here we have John, a disciple of Christ, who walked with Christ and learned from him and saw him in the flesh, and he's warning the members of the church, do not take these people into your homes and be wary of those false teachings of the doctrine. In those days, they couldn't just send a text or email to John saying, oh, hey, this guy's on my doorstep. He's saying some funny things. Is he legit or no? John was quite far away, so it would take a while for them to get a response from that. The only way they would be able to identify false teaching is to ensure they were well established in the truth and following the teaching of Christ. So now, in current times, I don't know about you, but I don't really have travelling evangelists coming knocking on my door very often asking for provisions. And even if I did, my stranger danger level's embedded in me greatly, so I probably wouldn't let them in. But what we lack in travelling evangelists, we more than make up for in the largest, most popular and far-reaching evangelical out there, the internet. Oh. At the tap of a finger, I can have millions of podcasts, books, commentaries, videos, TED Talks, recordings with ideas on faith, Christianity and God. And even if I don't have the internet, there's so many books or radio stations out there telling me all about Christ. Now, this is an incredible resource that we are privileged to have. But it also means that there's an even greater opportunity for false doctrine or misaligned thinking and theology that strays from the teaching of Christ to come into our lives. But it's true. For every podcast out there are thousands of critics or people evaluating their work against the Bible and against theological consensus. So it's not just like me against all the things that people are telling me, but we also must make sure that with all this knowledge, we are ensuring we do not lose what we have worked for and are identifying the truth. Because the theology of Christ, what we believe about Christ and God, impacts on the greatest commandment, which is how we love others. So what is this truth that John talks about? The truth that Christ came in the flesh to die for our, in place for our sins. It's a very important aspect of Christianity that I think if most of, I've asked most of you, you would believe that Christ was fully human and fully God, even though we don't quite understand how that is. But do we understand the implications of that? Why is that important? So 2 John says, we must walk in the truth, and when we walk in the truth, we show love. It matters because it changes how we love and show love to others. Love isn't just a feeling. It's a very physical thing. You don't just love by knowing something. You show love by using our bodies to talk, to give, to comfort in our body language. It's shown by physical commitment, showing up for someone, being there for them in person. Unlike the preaching of Gnosticism and Stoicism, Christ didn't come in the spirit. He was physically human. He felt what we felt: betrayal, hunger, rejection, pain. He felt the limitations of physical body, physical hurt, tiredness and stress. Through a physical body, he also shows us how to love others. He brought people to himself. He touched the untouchables physically. He prayed and spoke to all. Our bodies were made and created by God for a purpose, to use them, for us to move and act in the world. The greatest act of love was shown through Christ by dying with the weight of the world's sin whilst being fully human and fully God. So John says we are to walk in the truth, and therefore you can walk in love. These are physical things, and it doesn't make a difference if you just know that God's fully human and fully God, if you're not living out and walking in it every day. Just as Christ did, physically showing love to all, regardless of background and circumstances. So when these evangelists came to town claiming that Christ didn't come in the flesh, and that bodies are evil and unable to use Christ, to show Christ's love, it's no wonder that John responded so strongly to this message, urging the church to make sure they are following the teaching of Christ, walking in the truth and walking in love. Because when we have one person, or better yet, whole church community, walking in love and showing physical love like Christ, that's when impact and change and hearts are restored. So, if staying strong and not losing theology and walking in truth in Christ has such a large implications, how do we identify dodgy theology? In a world of resources, in a world where knowledge is valued but rarely acted upon, how do we make sure we are walking in truth and we're not losing what we've worked for, identifying false or misaligned teachings? So if we look at the passage in verse 9, John says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in teachings of Christ does not have God. When you run ahead, you're alone. You're out of the protection of the people around you. You're easily led astray. It's harder to identify what path you're supposed to be going on, and you're sort of at the mercy of the elements. The joy of being in a community with other Christians is that they can point us and direct us to the theological truth of Christ, and which are revealed in the Bible. Like in our game earlier, you would have had a much greater chance of identifying the real Tim Tam or Savoy by talking to your teammate who had done research, maybe, who had eaten lots of Tim Tams, and they could point out the differences to you. So sure, sometimes more voices can add to the confusion, but identifying the wise people in our life, the people who have eaten the most Tim Tams, we can turn and cut out the noise. And when their explanations are backed up with scripture, that's when we have the greater opportunity to identify things that are false. So when they can back up what they're saying with passages from the scripture, when they can back up that the Tim Tam, no, it's sweeter than this, or it's crunchier, then they've got a greater opportunity to prove to us and show us that, yes, we're on the right way, or maybe this is not quite in line with what Christ taught us. So reading your Bible alone is important to develop your own knowledge of Christ's teachings, but reading it in community with others allows us to identify our own thoughts where that might be misaligned and bring clarity and context to passages when it's needed. So importantly, we need to be acting on our knowledge and applying it to our lives, living out the truth and walking in love. As verse 6 states, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Back in the days of the early church, they may have only had one pastor or heard one talk like a week or something, leaving them the whole week to meditate on what the person said and put it into practice. With our surplus of knowledge, it can be easy to go from one sermon to the next, listening to a podcast on the way home from church or listening to it on our way to work. And we can take in all this knowledge, without actually directly applying it, which is where the fruit occurs. So, in the interest of acting on knowledge and applying what 2 John is asking us or encouraging us to consider, I've tried to boil down 2 John into 3 things that we can think about. 1, do you know the truth? Because first we have to know the truth to identify the false. How have you been viewing Christ? As a distant or spiritual figure, or as a servant-hearted God who humbled himself as a man and showed us what real love looks like? One of action, that's experienced real pain and shown real love despite it. Are you aware of that? 2, how are you loving others in light of this truth? Are you walking in it every day, pointing others to Christ and showing compassion to those who it's hard to? Challenging your friends when they need it, or welcoming them into a family of God when all they need is support? And 3, are you being aware of false teaching? What systems do you have in place to evaluate and assess your current theology or the theology of the podcast that you listen to, and make sure it's in line with the teaching of Christ and with the fundamentals of Christianity? Are you spending time discussing the word with the wise people around you, praying and listening to the Spirit when you read, and also praying for discernment in your daily lives? The theology of Christ matters, and it impacts on how we love others. So I'll get you to think about that first for now. 1, do you know the truth? 2, how are you loving others in light of the truth? And 3, are you being aware of false teaching? I'll give you a moment to discuss. Think about that, and then I'll pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that you came as a physical human. You know what it's like to feel pain and suffering, to feel the burden of stress in our lives. We thank you that despite it all, you showed us what it's like to love others with God as our centre and with God as our source of light and energy. We thank you that you've shown us how we can live a physical life of love out to others in light of this. And we thank you that we've been put in communities of people who are wise, who have delved into your word and who know the truth about who you are and who can point us to you and point us to where you want us to be going or what things you want us to be learning. We pray that this is something that we take into our weeks, that as we interact with people around us or as we listen to or read books or listen to podcasts, we are discerning your truth and applying it out into our lives and we're spreading your love in a real physical way, whether through speech, through actions, or just being there for someone. And I pray your blessing over all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.